Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello, and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. My name is Jordan Sparks, and I'm here with my husband, Jared, this morning.
Hello, and good morning.
Good morning. It's bright and early in the Sparks home, so sorry for sleepy voices, but this is some quiet time in our house, so it's easy to get a podcast in while everyone is sleeping.
It's weird how your voice sounds when you haven't spoken yet.
I feel like all the listeners can tell whenever we're recording and it's morning.
Our voice has not been warmed up yet at all.
These are the first words I've spoken aloud.
But let's talk about how good of a sleep we had last night.
Yeah, so...
Talk about two nights ago and then last night. Contrast that.
Oak is teething. He's getting a couple new teeth in, and he also has a cold. And Jared has a cold. So he's been sleeping really bad. We went on vacation, came back, and immediately had VBS at our church. So just two solid weeks of not or normal rhythm for him.
And he was literally awake last night. All that, I feel like, culminated into two nights ago
he was awake
almost the entire night.
Yeah, he would nurse and then be awake and then nurse and then be awake,
which, you know, listeners, your listeners are like, yeah, story of my life.
Yeah, they're like, so who cares.
But last night
he slept all night.
How many times has he slept through the night entirely?
Like the third time.
Yeah, third time in 7 months, because he does not sleep through the night.
None of our kids have. And
well, some have slept better.
Well, I mean, before they're a year old. Yeah. No, nobody really has slept through the night consistently before they were a year old. I remember when we had Ransom, just thinking, like, can you die from lack of sleep? Like, just wondering.
Is he going to be okay? You mean you?
Yeah. Not him. Right. Not a baby. But I wonder, like, myself, like, will I eventually die if I just keep not sleeping ever?
Yeah.
And then the more kids you have, the more you just don't think about it. Like, yesterday... on no sleep, I did a full day of work around here, painted a wall, like, had a great day. Didn't even think about it. Wasn't even tired, really. It'll probably hit me tomorrow.
Have you heard those stories of somebody getting hit and now the car is resting on the leg of somebody's son, and the man has this adrenaline strength that hits him and he's able to lift the car even though he can't lift that wake? It's like adrenaline that comes in that moment that's needed.
And you're like, I'm going to paint this wall. Yeah. Redecorating time.
Yeah, it happens with sleep, too. It's like Hulk. When it comes to energy, it happens somehow.
It's like, wait a minute, we have a day at home today? I think I'm going to redecorate. Anyways, so we are continuing on our series. If you've been listening, we're going through biblical action word, describe what it is to be a woman. We've done worship, work, help, and today we are going on with submit. And then we'll continue with fear, nothing, and love. Did I get them all? Worship, work, help, submit, fear, nothing, and love.
Yep.
So today we're talking about submission. The feminist favorite word, right? Christian women, we should be totally fine with this word. I'm totally fine with this word. It doesn't offend me in any way. I actually am really thankful for this word and the way that God created the world, because God created the world with an ingrained hierarchy.
Yeah.
With a lot of things.
And hierarchy's good. Seen everywhere.
Okay, so in Hebrews 13, we see hierarchy in the church, that we have leadership in the church and we are to submit to them. And then in Romans 13, we see leadership in the world that we're supposed to submit to when they're not asking us to sin. I think in 2020, we saw that there obviously was a time to not submit to governing leadership. And there is a time in marriage as well. If your husband ever asks you to sin, then you do not do it. But the general principle is the world is created with hierarchy, and there's times for all Christians to submit in different ways, and we should not be weirded out by that in any way.
Yeah, because, I mean, hierarchy is seen everywhere. It's seen in the home, church, and world, and hierarchy is good. It's recognized and acknowledged. One quick note on that, I read Jocko Willink's book last year called Extreme Ownership. And in that, throughout the book, he talks about inferiors and superiors over and over again. And it's just an acknowledgement that everywhere you go, there is inferior and superior. And what we're talking about here doesn't mean in value.
Right.
It means in authority, in differences in authority, which is what we're going to look at here in just a little bit, even in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But it's an acknowledgement everywhere that hierarchy exists and it's good and it's necessary to function as a home church and world.
Right. So the term inferior is, think of it more of as a military term, like he is my superior and he is my inferior, mm-hmm. not as you are inferior to me. Yeah. In who you are as a person. I think that you are of less value or worth or right. dumber.
And I think everybody who's had a job recognizes that or has been to school. There's a professor teaching that has the authority in the room. There's students who are learning that are inferior. So in that sort of way, when you just open your eyes, you see hierarchy everywhere and it's necessary. You pull hierarchy away, you have chaos.
Yeah. And then in 1 Corinthians 11, we see all Christians, men and women, are submitted to Christ. And absolutely. Our submission to our husbands as wives is part of our submission to Christ. So ultimately, our submission to our husband is a submission to Christ and saying, yes and amen, your commands are good, I'm going to do it. Yeah. It's not my husband and his perfect leadership I shall submit to.
Yeah.
Because our husbands are not perfect and they will fail, and we continue to submit to Christ because he told us to do it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the command that God gives to women in marriage to submit is good, just like the command that God gives to men in marriage is good, which is sacrificial love, which we've talked about and covered, and I've covered a lot on my show. So we're just going to say that that's a given, that the flip side in marriage, husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church. We're not going to insist on that over and over and over again as we talk about submission here, because we're specifically talking about the wife's commandment that God has given her to submit. And even if you're not a wife, you're still learning submission by submitting to your leaders in your church, by living your life with an acknowledgement that there are superiors and inferiors. And you're walking in those ways now, preparing yourself as you mm-hmm. get married one day.
So I've heard people say before, it's not hard, it shouldn't be hard for a woman to submit when the husband is leading and loving in the way that he should be doing. When he's leading sacrificially and loving sacrificially, it's not hard for a woman to submit. I've heard pastors say this before, and I'm thinking in my head, maybe it's easier, mm-hmm. but it's never not hard mm-hmm. to submit to a husband whenever he's asking you to do something that you don't see yet. Like, even if your husband is like the model of sacrificial love, like better than everybody that you know, if he asks you to move across the country, it's still going to be hard if it wasn't your right. idea. So no matter how great your husband's doing, this is still going to be hard at times to set yourself and your thoughts on the topic aside and submit to his leadership. Just as it would be if you, again, going back to like the military thing, is it easy to follow the commands of a leader that does something that you don't agree with, but you know that they are the leader of this team? And if I am not following the commander's leadership, things are going to get divided, and a house divided can't stand. So we know that there is strength in following one leader.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be, depending upon the husband in the home, it is going to be easier or harder. But yeah. just like with anything, the commands of God are not burdensome, but that doesn't mean that there isn't levels of difficulty with the commands of God, because we're all walking this road of sanctification and yeah. acknowledging at the end of the day, God help me, I need to do better with whatever it is in the commands of God that we're wanting to obey. So I think there has to be an acknowledgement that the goodness of God's law and commandments doesn't necessarily mean these are going to come easy to everyone. Mm-hmm. When the Holy Spirit is working in somebody, we are learning the ways of Christ and wanting to follow, wanting to obey in the way that God has called us to live. And yet, we look back and just say, God, I need your help here. I need help with this.
Yeah, and I will say that there has been times in our marriage that you have come to me with something that was difficult for me, decisions that you had made for our family that were difficult for me, and God gave me faith in that moment that if it would have just been sprung on me at a random time that God had not given faith, that I think it would have been really hard. Or if you would have told me years before that you were going to do that, that I would have been like, what? But God in the moment gave the faith that I needed and the strength that I needed, like he always does when we go through difficult things, to say, okay, I trust you. Or I don't understand, but I trust you, I think was the words I used in one instance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand, but I trust you. And just knowing that, like, God gets us through.
Yeah.
Maybe we should read Ephesians 5.
Okay.
Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. I would like to just see, like, a response video from, like, Rosie O'Donnell or something. You know, like, those Instagram response
videos.
That's
a name I haven't heard in a while. Rosie O'Donnell. Oh, man. That's so good. God made men and women differently. And in the context of marriage, there's a difference in how we live and function and the way God has called us to live and function than the ways of the world. But even in the ways of the world, it's acknowledged that there has to be some sort of leadership. And God has put this together perfectly. He's made the male and female different. We're different. And he's created the male body differently to protect and provide. But he's also made the male mind different to lead the household, and even lead the household at times on a one-track mind, being able to see things that need to be done that the wife can't necessarily see. Mm-hmm. And in the context of marriage, man and woman are created as leader and follower, as head and body, just like Christ is the leader of the church, and the church follows the head, Jesus, then the wife follows the leadership of her husband. Now, God has made the man bigger in his body than the woman is. The man is bigger. Now, are there cases that the wife is bigger than the man? Yes. Okay, I'm sure. Okay, all of that. Got it. But the man's body is created to be a provider and protector, and his mind is created to lead a family. And men and women have different minds. Mm-hmm. This is acknowledged in the secular world as men are from Venus or women are from Mars or whatever, Venus, yeah. Whatever that book was in the 80s. But it's acknowledged that men and women have different brains, and God has created the male mind to be the leader. So just like there is for the church, this is good for the church, that the church doesn't have to create the vision for herself. She doesn't have to lead herself. The church follows Christ. There's goodness there for the wife as well, where she doesn't have to just fight everything out on her own. Mm-hmm. She's got a leader that God has provided for her.
I remember before we got married, reading Let Me Be a Woman by Elizabeth Elliot.
I mean, which I gave to you.
Yeah.
Like, let's see how she's going to handle this.
Yeah, and being like, yes, absolutely. This is fantastic. Finally, someone is saying the way that the world is supposed to work. And this is how my parents functioned growing up. I grew up in a godly home. But I wasn't specifically taught about this.
It was demonstrated, but not articulated. Yes.
Yeah. And so reading that book, well, honestly, and then I went through like high school and college years where I thought that I would just go off and do my thing, you know, and then setting my own path in life. And upon us starting dating, and it was kind of clear that we were going to get married, and reading that book and just being so refreshed by the thought that, oh my gosh, I'm going to have a husband that's going to lead our family. And what a blessing and a comfort that was to me. And that it should be how we embrace submission. It should be such a comfort and a refreshment and a blessing to us when we think about that. And that doesn't mean that it isn't difficult at times, because from Eden on, we've had this curse of we're going to want to usurp this authority. We're going to try to take that beautiful leadership and blessing and twist it and make it be a curse to us and think that it's awful, and we're going to think we could do it better, and we're going to try to take that authority and run with it and be like, no, husband, you're stupid. I know better. Do what I say. And that's something that we have to fight as Christian women, as Christian wives. Don't be like that, and be a joyful, submitted wife. And ask any wife, any Christian wife, is it a passive or active decision to submit? Like, is submission a passive thing that we do, that we're just kind of quietly sitting in the corner and that's how submission works? Submission is an active decision to trust God and to have the strength to do it, to be quiet, have a gentle and quiet spirit, and not go with your flesh in wanting to usurp the authority, but instead trust the Lord and be willingly submitted to your husband.
Yeah. And I think it comes with an acknowledgement that God will hold the husband responsible for the household. That's the joyful burden that husbands carry in the context of their home. And so ladies have to trust, even if they don't understand at times, the leadership of their husbands. And then husbands are going to have to give an account to God for that leadership. Ladies, your responsibility as you're talking with your husband, and your husband should be hearing you, and you should be having conversations about how things are going on in the home. But your responsibility is to follow that leadership, even if you don't understand, trusting that God is leading him. And then, you know, there's going to be times that the husband makes the wrong decision. There's going to be times that something happens that's unexpected. Your role and responsibility in that moment is not to cut his legs out from under him and say, oh, I told you, blah, 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 blah. He has his relationship with the Lord, and he will recognize when something went wrong that he did. He should anyways. And you can trust the Holy Spirit in the life of your husband in those moments. You don't have to come and make him feel like an idiot because something didn't go the way he thought it would go or he wanted it to go. Mm-hmm. You can trust the Lord even in those situations as well.
Well, and I think that's a moment to trust the sovereignty of God too. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. So even if this was a big mess up and this was like a bad financial decision or whatever, you can trust the Lord. Pray for your husband that God would give him wisdom as he leads your family, that he would help your husband to grow from this experience and to not make this mistake again next time. And like pray for him and encourage him, not make him feel like a dummy and too scared to make the decision of the hard decision next time. It's so hard because we are told over and over and over again through society and our culture and all the influences of our world that girls, what's the Beyonce song?
Independent.
Who run the world, girls?
I don't know.
A song like that.
Okay. Sounds terrible.
I know, and I don't listen to Beyonce. I don't know how I know that, but do you remember when Dave Harvey?
Yeah, Beyonce.
One time we were in it. I think maybe
it was
he
a sojourn
just told,
retreat or something like that.
I think he just told the story about how in a Sunday sermon he called Beyonce Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know. Thought it was some kind of French name, Beyonce. Mm-hmm. But it's funny. But anyways, we're told girls run the world. And sadly, there's a lot of women who are raising their little daughters to think they run the world. Like, this is something that women are like, yeah, girls rule. Girls run the world. Blah, blah, blah. That's weird and dumb.
It's weird and...
But it's a bad way to raise daughters.
Yeah.
I don't want my daughter to feel like she has to run the world. My gosh, what an awful burden to put on a daughter.
And you're raising against the nature. It's like raising a boy into like Princess Tea Party thing or something like that. It's raising a boy against his nature, raising a girl against her nature. And it's against the grain of how God has made us to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, let me just go out on a limb here and just ask the ladies listening in, look at your life. Where has the leadership of your husband got you to this point? And I'd be willing to bet if you just look at your life right now and look back over the years, look what God has done and look where you are right now. You can say, most of you out there could say, thank you. My life is awesome. And that's where most of your lives are right now, is in a really, really good spot. And for the ones that are listening in, it's not there yet. Trust your husband. Pray. Be like Sarah and fear nothing that's frightening, which we're going to be talking about here in the next couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But trust as you live, as God, the way God has called you to live, that God is going to do a work in your husband's life if things aren't the way you had wanted them to be. But most likely your life right now, and I say the way you wanted it to be, is so much better than you even imagined. And that's how it is for our life as well. My life has not shaken out the exact way as I thought it would go, but it's so much better.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, it's so much better. As I've tried to follow the leadership of the Lord for our family, and we just evaluate where we're at, we look back and it's like, oh my gosh, God, you are so faithful.
Mm-hmm. A couple more things that I wanted to touch on is submission doesn't mean that the wife does not give input or try to give wise counsel when needed or doesn't say, hey, I think this is sinful. So submission is not silence.
Right.
So what is the godly way for a wife to push back?
Yeah. With humility and with an open Bible.
Yeah.
That those two things are required. Because if the husband is out of line, we are one flesh, you and I. And if I'm not doing well, the family's not doing well. If you're not doing well, the family's not doing well. If the husband loves his own body, Christ loves his own body in the same way I love you as my own body. And so humility and an open Bible, and then a quiet and gentle spirit when it comes to that sort of thing. And a wife that just comes with a finger in the face of her husband with accusations, it never goes well, and it won't ever go well. Mm-hmm. But a wife who humbly and boldly approaches her husband who might be in sin with an open Bible, and also acknowledging that the elders are a resource for her at their local church, that if we're talking about a sin issue, then it is okay after her husband has been addressed and talked to for her to bring outside counsel, mm-hmm. to go to the elders and say, my husband is not, whatever it may be, if he's struggling with some sort of sin that's going unacknowledged or leading in a way that's harmful to his family, well, then there needs to be some sort of correction there yeah. that the wife can appeal to, and that is the local church elders. I mean, if there's something like, I mean, God forbid, if there's physical abuse happening, then not only do you have the elders, but you have the local authorities, those sorts mm-hmm. of things to address, to come into, because now we're talking about civil disobedience as well. That's a violation of God's commands that she has access to. And so if the wife needs help or something like that, but that is such a fringe minority. Right. We don't have to...
This is more like, I don't know, you think your husband is not reading the Bible, or you think your husband is looking at his phone too much.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
Oh, it sounds like some conversations that we've had before.
That's not true. I've never said that you've never read your Bible.
No, not Let's the Bible part, the phone off. Part. Okay. Well, even what about laying out requests? So the other example we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is this headship and authority, that the headship of Christ is God the Father.
Yeah.
So you have these two examples of submission. You have the church to Christ, and then you have Christ to the Father.
Right.
In his incarnational ministry, Jesus was submissive to his heavenly Father.
Right. So again, we like the last episode, we have an example in the Trinity, like mm-hmm. last helper and the Holy right. Spirit. We have Christ submitting to God the Father. And if Christ is not too good for submission, neither are we.
Yeah, and the thing is, even in the order of prayer in the garden, there's petition before submission. So you still yeah. have Jesus laying out requests. Mm-hmm. And the same thing in marriage, in the context of marriage, there's petition before submission. It doesn't require the wife just to salute her husband to everything. Mm-hmm. There is that superior-inferior relationship in the context of marriage. And yet... there is a dialogue and relationship there as the marriage context is a one flesh context.
Yeah. So Joe Rigney, we just read Leadership and Emotional Sabotage. Plug. It's great. You should read it. So in one of the conversations that Doug Wilson and Joe Rigney have.
About the book.
Yeah, about the book. They talk about how it's best for couples to give each other the green light to call out sin in each other's lives during a quiet and calm moment. Like, hey, do I have your permission, if I see sin, to say something about it? And so if there is that green light during a calm moment, no one's upset, then the next time it happens, the wife's like, hey, you told me mm-hmm. I could point this out.
Yeah.
Remember that? Remember when you said you wanted me to help you? Mm-hmm. Remember when you said it was okay if I showed you a blind spot? So I think that is good advice, to not just in the heat of an argument bring up the thing that yeah. you want to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's like a calm moment, kids are not around, things are peaceful. Yeah. Hey, can I talk to you about something?
Well, and just to appeal back to our last episode, helping never means enabling yeah. sin. So to help, empower, that's what we talked about, is to empower. But it's also this piece of, okay, helping the husband to be a more godly man as he's leading.
Mm-hmm.
If there's blind spots in his life that needs to be corrected, the husband is there to lead and be the spearhead of the family and lead the family spiritually. And at times in that leadership, as he's fighting, he's focused on one particular thing, or he's focused on this particular objective for the family, and there's going to be something in the rear view or something in the peripheral that he doesn't see. And the wife's is like, in a non-nagging way, hey, honey, you got to consider this. You got to think about this. And then the husband's response should be, oh man,
thank
yeah,
you.
I didn't yeah. see that. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And mm-hmm. so the wife is there not to distract him from leadership, not to distract him from being the spearhead of the family, as the family is being directed by him, but is to help him and submit to him, and those things work together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as we're wrapping this up, one quick note. Submit to your husband in everything is the call in Ephesians chapter 5. the husband should be providing freedom within the context of the home, where we recognize that Titus chapter 2 gives a great amount of authority in the context of the home, the actual household, to a wife who is a manager of a household. The man is the responsible one over the household. He's going to give spiritual account. He's giving account to God for those that were entrusted to him. But also God has given a great amount of freedom in the context of a home for a wife to be making a ton of decisions. I mean, the husband's not saying every single night, this is what we want for dinner. This is what, where there's orders for everything in the context of a home. There's a lot of freedom when it comes to, there should be anyways, the context of a household of a woman who is submissive in everything to her husband. It doesn't mean that there's not just a massive amount of freedom there. You know, when it comes to decor, when it comes to food, when it comes to everyday decisions, you have deputized authority in this home, especially when I'm gone, over this household. When it comes to the ways of the children, when it comes to discipline, when it comes to everyday decisions of this household, you have a lot of authority here.
Yeah, well, even the Proverbs 31 woman considered a field and bought it.
Yeah.
Whenever we understand what the mission of the family is and have shown, like, hey, we're on the same team here, we have the same goals, we are of one mind, we are united in finances and parenting and how our household's supposed to function. When we're united in these things, then we can trust each other with decisions that are going to be made. And every decision doesn't have to run through, like, this submission process, you know?
Yeah, right.
I still ask you lots of things, though.
Yeah, a couple real quick examples of things that may be helpful to you referenced this earlier. I transitioned out of a job because of an ethical issue years ago where I just said, I can't do what's being asked of me as a pastor at this church. And you said, I don't understand, but I trust you. It was a moment that was big for our family. Fast forward a few years later, remember the wood stove conversation we had where you didn't want me to get the wood stove, but I knew that this is the right decision. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm getting the wood stove. And I went out.
The pipe's not going to look good on the roof.
Yeah.
And I had not good reasons of why I didn't.
And I went out and got the wood stove, and we have backup heat, and it looks great. And I knew you're going to love it. I'm buying it.
And I'm so glad you did it.
And you love it. Yes. There are going to be times when the husband is just going to say, I'm making the decision. And this
it's
is
the
what
right
we're gonna,
decision.
This is what we're going to do.
You're going to like it.
And we've had friends that have had these situations with, I mean, even buying a house where it's like, we're getting this house. This is, or we're doing this. This is what we're doing. And I know you're going to like this in the end. And the wife comes along in the end and is like, yep, that was the right decision. Mm-hmm. And ladies, it just comes down to this. You just have to trust your husband. It doesn't mean he's perfect, but you just have to trust your husband.
Yeah. And be quick to be like, oh, you were right. The wood stove is really cozy and I love it.
As chilly as cooking on top and
the room is really heated.
And,
yeah, and the pipe actually looks really cute. It looks like when you draw a house on a piece of paper and you do a little triangle top with a chimney at the corner. That's what it's like and I love it. Okay, anyways, that is our thoughts on submission. So until next time, thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, we want to thank you so much for listening to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast and continuing to come back. You guys have certainly been an encouragement to us, and we hope we've been an encouragement to you as well. We want to continue this work, and we need your help to do that.
If you'd head over to the Fruitful and Fearless website, it's just fruitfulandfearless.com. You can find memberships there that are different tiers that contain different benefits to you as well. If you want to just support us for the heck of it because you're enjoying the show, that's always a blessing as well. But we try to make it even more worth it for you with recipes, groups for homeschooling and cooking, baking, natural health. We try to put as many resources on there as we can. But thank you for your support. It greatly helps our family.